You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And the Cowboys looked like they hadn't played a game together this year.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't want to get into any addressing of any aspects of any part of it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You know, he's had enough. And I think this is where you take a big swing at, say, like a bill.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, host of the Right Time podcast, Bomani Jones, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, which is free on every single Roku device known to man. The select Samsung Smart TV has us as well. Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app has the Roku channel on it. That's free. Same thing with the internet, the RokuChannel.com. You can check us out every single day. We had a great chat with Daniel Jeremiah in hour number one. And hour number three, Mike Florio, our friend from Pro Football Talk, will join us. You can call at any point you want, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. And this man has been on multiple times on the phone, but it's great to see in person the host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Bomani Jones, good to see you in person. How are you?
I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me. Escaped the East Coast before it got a little ridiculous, you know?
Dicey?
Look here, man. I was eating breakfast today looking at palm trees. Apparently, they're not doing that in New York right now.
No, they're not.
That's not the program.
That is definitely not the program, for sure. So let's just jump right into it. The Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles, which one would you consider to be the more disappointing NFC East team? Bomani Jones.
The Cowboys really still disappoint you? Like, I feel like the Cowboys are at that point where if they continue to disappoint you, it's kind of sort of your fault, right?
Yeah.
The Eagles is just so much more inexplicable. Like, the Cowboys had a bad game. If nothing else, if you want to just put it out there and say, hey, they played their worst game of the season at the worst time possible.
Yes.
You can make the argument that's an excuse, but you could pass that off as plausible. We watched the Eagles die a slow death for 17 weeks or 18 weeks. It started early. They were just getting by everybody, and we got into our sports cliche. Well, they're just finding ways to win. Like they was champions or something, which they're not. We gave them champion benefit because they came close to winning one. And then you looked at how bad they looked in that game, and it was over from the very beginning where, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Right. And so you will choose the Eagles instead of the Cowboys on that fact.
I will.
I don't think, by the way, they're going to make either one of those teams is going to make a coaching change. I think that might be our way of looking at it. Well, this is an unacceptable type of way to go out. And I just don't see both of those teams bouncing their coaches. I just don't see it.
I think it's more likely that Jerry keeps McCarthy because Jerry doesn't like to fire coaches.
Isn't that he has the reputation of just being a total, you know, shoot from the hip type guy, and he is not.
No,
he's the opposite of it.
I talked to somebody who worked with him in a pretty significant capacity and then worked in another NFL franchise, and the point he made was Jerry's more loyal than anybody else that he has worked with in this sports realm. Like, there's a move to make on McCarthy. You could make the argument, but the only time he's moved on a coach after, I want to say 3 years, was Dave Campo, but they went 5-11 3 years in a row.
That's right.
This isn't that. The Eagles, though, the question they have to ask themselves is, whatever happened this year, look, I don't know these people. I don't know that team, but something looks very clearly to be broken. If something is broken, what role does the coach play in it breaking, and is the coach capable of repairing it? And it seems difficult to wrap my mind around the idea that the answer to both of those are positive for Sirianni. But I also think that both of those dudes are working in a negative place where we're holding against them how we felt about them in the beginning. Like for Sirianni here, shaking off that press conference. Good job. You made us forget about it until something bad happened. And now you're the dude that was out there looking ridiculous at your introductory press conference. And McCarthy, every bit of skepticism that we had about him coming in, it never went away, right? We all asked the question as to why in the world he had that job in the first place. And then 3-12 win seasons later, people are still asking the same question.
Well, that's because the last games of each one of his seasons have been spectacular failures.
Yes.
From not getting the ball placed. to whatever the heck that last snap to Ezekiel Elliott was in his Dallas career to this year.
Well, and the other part, too.
And that is?
The world's a little bit skeptical of our portly brothers. This is not a small. This is not a small part of the discussion, man. People don't treat them right, and the assumption is not. You know, I'm not lying about this. I'm not saying I do it because I don't have the room to participate in this conversation.
You're not a waitist.
No. I'm like, for me, this is like when John Oliver talks about the Irish, or he's like, I sound like this. I can't get into this. I'm not gonna say anything about the man, but I know the rest of y'all, man. I know where it comes from, and the double extra large is not helping his case in terms of the skepticism that people feel about him.
Is that because you feel, people feel in this way, let's get into it here, that if you don't have the discipline to stay in shape, don't have a discipline to coach a team.
That's exactly it.
Really? Where are we with Andy Reid?
I mean, honestly, where are we with like 45% of the American population, if we're being honest about this? Like, we are a pudgy people. And I'm saying we to throw myself into this. I've gained a little weight in the last couple months, right? I'm getting a little closer to Jordan, you guys.
You look great.
Thank you. But this is just, it's not my fault that other people are bad. We just have to acknowledge the fact that we struggle a little bit with how we deal with our chubbier friends. You know what I'm saying? They are friends.
Of course. You know, so a little bit.
Thumbs up.
So you're saying that McCarthy could keep his job if he just hit that Ozempic a little
bit. I'm saying that
people, he should get the Ozempic, the Wegovy treatment here.
I'm saying that people would be a little less harsh toward him.
Unbelievable.
Just think about your life, man. Just think about how it goes. This is who we are.
I thought he's been looking good this year. Actually.
Better?
Yeah, I do.
Better?
Well, I mean,
he's got the beard to try to hide it.
Oh my god.
That's what big guys see. That never helps.
Big guys get beards.
You guys.
Look at Santa.
All right. Santa. You want to chime in here, Felly? Is that what you want to say?
I just took that as a personal shot, but it's all right.
I'm telling people to be nicer to folks in that realm. I'm not saying you one of them. I'm just telling you, man. Like, people need to be better. That's just how they...
Sorry, Jay.
They're not doing right by... I don't know how this got to be about me, by the way.
Because you keep throwing yourself in the mix here. You know, the one who's throwing yourself in the mix here.
You keep sticking me with these awkward silences. Like, after I say it, you're like, oh!
No, it's all good. Bomani Jones is here in the Rich Eisen Show. You just came in. You just came in like the proverbial house of fire, which is great. What did you say to me when you first saw me? You're like, something about the one every 30 years.
Yes, once every 30 years. I did not say first.
Go ahead, tell him what you said to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I said something about you still riding the high from that once every 30 year championship thing. Though, to be fair, it's more accurately first full championship since the Korean War.
That's true.
Like, if I wanted to drop the bombs, so to speak, right? If I wanted to be like, wow, Doug MacArthur would have loved to see this day. That would have been a better way to put it.
And then I told you that everything after the slight about how long it's taken. Is what I would prefer to rest on the present.
Yes.
The moment.
Hold on, though. But it wasn't a slight. It was an appreciation for the magnitude of the situation. Like, I used to root for Texas. And when they won that championship in 2005, it was literally the first championship they'd ever won with black people. Literally. That's not an exaggeration. The last time they'd won a championship was the last segregated national champion. Mm. And so it was not to take a dig, but to lean into the significance of the moment.
But you're also, I would definitely say aware enough to realize that I didn't require the perspective to be mixed in with the congratulatory statement.
You know what I mean?
Like, there's the congratulatory statement on its own. It doesn't require the perspective. I know that's, you provide perspective.
It's
professionally
fair.
That's why there's the right time. So it wasn't the right time
I feel you.
Bomani Jones.
You're right about that. I could have said that, wow, since the Korean War, Ohio State's got five of these and you guys have one and a half. I could have done that, but I thought I was being good about it.
I don't need the facts either.
I'm just saying.
Other than congratulations, you must feel great that Michigan won it all.
Yes. I'm just saying, you guys get you a couple more, you'll pass Woody Hayes since the Korean War. Woody Hayes quit that job in 1978.
Oh, my God. What do you got against Michigan?
I have nothing against Michigan, actually. I went to a game in Ann Arbor last year. I went to their game against Michigan State.
Okay.
I found it to be a very delightful experience. Although I will say,
yes,
the pregame. No. And I think you know what I'm about to talk about.
No,
and I do feel like everything I'm saying, I do have to feel like, oh, but wait a minute.
No, it's okay.
But they started the game and they got, like, everybody's got their video hype thing.
Yeah.
And Michigan has the advantage of an alumni base that has the voice of all voices, which is James Earl Jones. And so James Earl Jones does the voice. And I believe he says in all of his Darth Vader CNN glory, "We are the greatest university in the world." And I'm in this crowd of 110,000 people. I'm guessing 90,000 of which didn't go to no damn University of Michigan. And I'm like, why are you talking about the university right now? We about to watch some football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to say it was the greatest state of all time, you know, everybody likes to feel that way. I'm from Texas, so I know better. But "We are the greatest university in the world." Hey, man, we just trying to watch a game, dog.
I understand. He could be. We should have him say, "We are your father." Just really just go straight
well, especially
into
when you
it.
Play at Michigan State, because that's the game I went to. I think it's the one where them boys exacted their revenge in the tunnel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was ugly. It's a nasty rivalry. But my favorite thing is when we do beat Michigan State is I have this photograph of Jemele Hill smoking a cigar that she posted after Michigan lost to Michigan State the last time, or one of those times. Mm-hmm. She's smoking this cigar, and I saved it. And I just, because it's going to turn at some point. And after every Michigan win over Michigan State, I just popped that thing
out. It wasn't that time that it looked like Michigan was going to win that game, and then the kick went the other way.
And then she's just smoking a cigar out of it or something like that. And I was like, okay.
But on the bright side, y'all broke that dude's pelvis that scored the touchdown.
I've forgotten about that.
I always wonder how that dude felt in the end. Was it worth it? Because I don't think so.
Bomani Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Right Time with Bomani Jones, presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment, is available wherever you can get your podcasts right now. All right, so what is the story in the NBA now that we are past the de facto midway point of the season? What do you got for me on that front?
I feel like we are in a very interesting transitionary period in the NBA.
And that is?
I mean, you're looking at Minnesota and Oklahoma City being the best teams in the West. Like, the next generation of player seems to be pushing forward. So in the NFL, we just made the transition out of, like, the Brady, Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers toward the end. We have moved out of that place, and now we're talking about the next generation of dudes. Now is the time for me, for that next generation of NBA players to step up, the next generation of really good teams. Oklahoma City, it was going to take a little while, and it only took a little while,
right,
to be fair. But now Presti's got that thing humming. They got the players. My brother in skinniness, Chet, is out here making it happen. I saw some clip of him after a game where he took his shirt off, and he wears a pad right here in the middle of his chest. And I was like, yeah, that's a hero right there. I relate to what's going on with him. So to me, that is the most interesting thing. I mean, I think it's all going to come back to the champs are the champs. The best player in the world is the best player in the world. And
right,
I think they're going to spank everybody on the way out. But I'm glad to see the next generation of the NBA, like, really beginning in force.
So Jokic and the Nuggets are just letting the youngins have their day right now.
I just don't know what anybody's supposed to do with him.
He is unbelievable. I mean, that shot he made to beat the Warriors from, what, 40-something feet, where he shot like Jamal Wilkes back in the day, like both hands over his head. You know, I don't know. When it all comes down to it, he is the best player on the planet. But, I mean, who would you consider is in the Eastern Conference the next young stars? Is it Halliburton before he got hurt? Or
Probably.
Who are you throwing in there?
I am big. Halliburton is in one of these tricky situations right now where I feel like I, like a lot of people who talk about him, have seen more numbers than they actually have seen him play. Because, you know, I work really hard to be sitting in my house watching the Indiana Pacers on my off time. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really me. But I have watched him, and he's just, the numbers he's putting up are unreal. And he's really, really, really good. Like, to the point where Sacramento traded him and got back Sabonis, and Sabonis was really good. And you got to wonder, man, did they get got in that trade? The argument that they did not get got was it unlocked De'Aaron Fox. Well, maybe De'Aaron Fox needed to get unlocked by somebody else if you had to give up Halliburton in the process of it. So I think that maybe he leans toward being that guy. I think that's the direction I go in.
And then anyway, who else? Brunson in the East? I don't know. He's been around a while, but
yeah, I like Brunson a lot. I mean, hey, there's still that Jason Tatum guy up there that has been, he's in that place where he started doing it so young and has been doing it for so long that you can forget that he's, what, like 25 or something like that?
Right. That's why I wouldn't, but that's why I don't throw him. He's been around long enough. I don't put him in the Chet Holmgren, you know,
yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't throw him in with Anthony Edwards. Those are guys who are still, you know, making their bones, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Except, you know, again,
like, I don't throw Giannis in there either. Obviously, he's won a championship.
But it's just because Tatum started so young. It's really just because he got in. I mean, he came in the door swinging. I don't love the way that he goes about handling his business. Now, it's Scottie Barnes, by the way, is another guy that you could put in that discussion.
Well, I heard he's the face of the NBA, right? I heard that. That's, by the way, that Darko Ran is one of our favorites of all time.
Oh, man, look, I just love the fact that he was so hot. Like, I'm trying to learn Spanish right now, right? Mm-hmm. And I yearn to get to the point where I can speak angrily. And just go, right? I ain't got to think about
language.
These. Yeah, I ain't got to think about these words. They just come out. He ain't messed none of it up, neither. He just roll with
it. Well, we have this screen grab that we keep throwing up every now and then, and then we have him as a drop as well. What, Del Tufo messed it up? Did he bail it somewhere? Did he bury it somewhere? Okay.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, yeah, he went off, and we were surprised that he only got fined $25,000 until we found out that was the max that you could.
Oh, no, they went for it. They had to. But hey, look, Scottie Barnes is the face of the NBA in Canada. You got to remember, man, that man lives in another country. As far as he's concerned, he's like, whenever they talk about basketball here, they talk about Scottie Barnes.
Right, well, the face of the NBA in Canada used to be Kawhi. And yes. I guess are we overlooking what's happening with the Clippers right now? Because we live in a Lakers world. We currently are residing right now in a Lakers town. But what they're doing with Harden, I mean, is the real deal, it appears.
What
right
I
now.
Think happened with them was it started so bad and they looked awful. And once it started bad and it looked awful, I think that people decided they were going to be awful, and then they went back to paying attention to football. And then they're going to have this moment where they come back and they're like, yo, have you heard that the Clippers have actually been over here killing it? Because it's a bit shocking to me. Mm-hmm. They confirmed all the skepticism anybody would have about adding James Harden in the first place. And I do think that they're being overlooked. But I also think nothing they do with James Harden matters until we start talking about the postseason, because we've seen it from him so many times where it's not small sample stuff anymore. You get to the end and you got to look at that dude and be like, okay, what are we going to get from you? And if you can't get anything from him, he will effectively neutralize Kawhi Leonard, who is literally one of the greatest postseason performers who's ever lived. You're hoping that sort of thing and the Paul George that we saw when Kawhi got hurt in the postseason, and he stepped up. You're hoping that all of that can matter more than James Harden, and that you don't have to give Harden the ball so much that he can sink your whole ship. But the problem with Harden has been less that he did not show up in the postseason. Not showing up is not such a big deal. Other people can cover for you when you don't show up to work. But when you show up to work and just start throwing stuff around and breaking things, now we got a whole different problem. Can he show up and not mess things up? That's what we're going to get the answer for.
Because he usually does break the franchise when it all comes down to it, because he wants to leave,
yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
that's been the MO for it. So you're saying he's great in the regular season, wondering if he's show up in the postseason. He's the Cowboys with a beard? Is that what you're saying?
Fair.
Pretty much. I'm just trying to figure out he's a Cowboys with a beard. Because I just want to make sure, because the guy over your right shoulder, TJ Jefferson, is that rare subset of Cowboys Clipper fans.
Really?
TJ? You want to chime in right here, or what?
I mean, what's there to say? Everything he said is true until it gets done in the postseason. It is what it is.
Because I'm looking at you, and you seem to be about my age, so I can understand.
Oh, he won't tell you how old he is.
Yeah, I know. I'm just guessing here, right?
How old are you, Bomani?
I am 43.
Oh, he's older than that.
Okay.
We're in the same, you know.
Well, in which case, see, that makes it even crazier, because I understand the Cowboys thing. Mm-hmm. Voluntarily picking up the Clippers, given the generation that you're in. Who just decides, like, losers? That's what I'm about.
I moved here in 99. I'm a Sixer fan by birth. Mm-hmm. Moved here, I didn't want to root for the Lakers. So I decided, all right, let me root for the Clippers. And when they turn it around, it'll be cool. Still waiting for that U-turn.
Clipper fans mostly here in this town are they're kind of like a melting pot, but a large part of the melting pot are East Coast transplants for whom rooting for the Lakers would have to happen over their dead bodies. But they love the NBA and want to see it live and have chosen the Clippers as their team.
All right, so there's contrarians like my guy Lance, who works with me. He's a Clippers fan, and he's from here. He's from Carson. Well, he's a Clippers guy. That's a bit contrarian. You do have
him and Daryl. Those are the other Clippers.
that's the other thing I was about to say. And then you got guys like Daryl, who, as I recall, the story was Daryl lost his job and was feeling bad about himself, and he turned on the TV and he saw this bunch of losers and was like, you know what? We're going to be losers together. Not that Daryl is still a loser. Nothing feels more like I'm a loser than losing your job. I've lost my job many times. It makes you feel like a loser. So he was just sitting there like, I'm a loser. They're losers. Did you have a job when you decided you were going to root for the Clippers?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact.
Think about it.
Yeah. But was it what?
Was it a good one?
Yeah, I was working in a talent agency. So
I mean, they got all kinds of jobs in the talent agency, you know.
I was an assistant, you know.
Okay,
that's
how
everybody starts in the talent agency.
I think you finally drilled down to make your point.
Saying, like, when people say, I had a job in a place but don't tell you what it was, it's like, I knew this dude once who told us, he's like, oh, I work for BMW. Partner, you fix cars. And there's nothing wrong with fixing cars, but stop talking to me like you out here designing them. You're not. You would have told me you design cars.
Well, plus, TJ.
I was submitting commercial actors for commercials.
Hold on, my man. I didn't mean to make you explain it to me. This is a defensive operation, by the way. I just had a little joke with him about Michigan, and now he's all on the taking all these digs.
We're very sensitive.
Yeah, he's like, well, actually, so that you know, that commercial right there, the one with "Yes, I am," I did that. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's letting us know all of them.
I was trying to downplay it, but I guess
we shouldn't go with the third rail for you, sports wise, TJ Jefferson, which is the number of teams that you do root for.
I mean, sure, you can.
There we go. Look at the screen, Bomani. These are all teams he roots for.
Outrageous.
Wow. Whoa. No. This you have to explain, because there is something so contradictory on here that can't be defended, and I bet you
I know exactly what it is. I know it's in the bottom left there,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. How?
Okay, how? So
Georgetown.
My grandma loved Patrick Ewing, so because of that, I start liking Georgetown. I was reading that. Remember Athlon Street and Smith magazine back in the day? I saw a kid named Grant Hill, whose dad, Calvin Hill, played for the Dallas Cowboys. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, okay. I knew his dad because I'm a Cowboys fan.
And that's
like,
the Duke?
It was before my time.
Okay.
Grant Hill was supposed to go to Georgetown. So for his whole junior and senior season, I'm following this kid through magazines. I'm like, I'm a fan of this guy. So then he ended up going to Duke. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to root for Grant Hill. And that turned into...
I once wrote that if Duke played the Ku Klux Klan, I'd root for a 0-0 tie. And
how'd that hit your editor's desk?
Like, whoa, what a lead. That's how it landed. It was the first line of the piece. And
now, I've said that somebody from the Niners tweeted me the other day. It was like, hey, you should come join our team. I'm like, I would join the Klan before I would join.
Michael Wilbon says that if Notre Dame played the Ku Klux Klan, he'd root for the boys in white. There's a lot about that, but you can't be a Duke fan and a Georgetown fan of that era, because the whole reason to root for Georgetown is the antithesis of Duke. The whole reason they root for Duke is because they hate Georgetown.
I liked Grant Hill. I don't know what to say.
And by the way, Grant Hill was supposed to go to Georgetown but went to Duke. That's the whole reason to be down on the whole operation. In fact, that makes me look at Grant Hill a little bit funny. I'm kidding, Grant. I promise. I was sensitive about that.
I love how you didn't say which one of the pennants made you most offended, and he knew exactly where it was.
It's an internal conflict.
TJ, you knew exactly where he was going.
Because January 14th? It's not the first time this conversation
That's true.
Come up.
Okay.
I'll never forget this. One time, a friend of my parents came over, and it was Duke and Florida were playing in the 94 Final Four. Mm-hmm. And he went to North Carolina Central in Durham, and he came in, and he's sitting there, and he goes, well, you know, I went to college in Durham. Think I'm rooting for Duke today. And it was like the needle went off the record, and everybody just froze and looked around. And my mother, the sweetest woman I have ever met in my life, looked at him and explained he would be watching the game somewhere else if he was going to think he was going to come in here and root for Duke.
Really?
Wasn't happening.
So did he... Did he get ejected?
No, he chilled out. He just kept quiet. If you get a chance, go on YouTube. My show, Game Theory from HBO. Yes. Our Duke episode is still up there, and you will understand. It's a very serious thing for a lot of us that stopped us from rooting for Duke. But some of us was raised different, you know?
Ask me what happens when Duke plays Georgetown, though, or Duke played Michigan.
I think he's done asking you questions.
I'm just curious. Like, that looks like Jackie Robinson on the wall. What do you think he think about this? You think Foxy Brown would root for Duke?
That's Dr. J right there.
Dr. J would root for Duke?
Probably not.
You think Duke would recruit Dr. J?
I don't know. But you're asking, like, I ain't got no Duke tattoos. It's not like
if you had to rank them, that's probably the lowest down the list.
Yeah, I mean, Georgetown's my all-time favorite, like. Question.
The right time with Bomani Jones, presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment.
Being very
available.
Judgmental, Bo, is all I'm saying.
Wherever you
very judgmental.
Wherever you get your podcasts, congratulations on that.
Thank you, man.
I don't know how often you're in LA, but stop by anytime.
Oh, I'd love to. And go blue, man. No, I'm serious. Completely. I'm so happy. Like, I remember what it was like when Texas won that championship, right? I know that feeling. It's mm-hmm. great. I'm like, it's a good one. You get to ride it out forever and for everybody. Most of us are not Alabama. You only Correct. Get one of these championships every couple of decades. That's legitimately it.
Fact.
Or, you know, twice since a major international conflict.
Understood.
And so you enjoy it, you know? So enjoy it, Rich. Enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. He is enjoying it.
I am.
He's saying it with his chest.
Oh, I am. Everybody in the state of Ohio has heard from me. Literally, I might have gone one by one. I might go door to door. It'll be great.
You and Desmond are probably having more fun with this than anybody else in the world.
Oh, yes. And don't forget Charles Woodson, too, because he's the one who brings the alcohol. At Bomani _Jones, Twitter and Instagram. Again, check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones, presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for coming on here.
Thanks for having me,
man. Anytime. And if you, you know, need a guest or looking for a guest, I'm happy to
reciprocate. This is the most fun I've ever had doing a radio hit, to be perfectly honest.
Fantastic. Well, it's a simulcast, too. You're on TV as well, which is, you know, and to all the people out there who are trying to lose weight, we're with you.
Yeah. And if you can't lose weight, I still love you. I don't judge you more harshly than other people.
As long as you're not a football coach.
It's not me.
You're just pointing out the way society acts.
Yep.
Okay. Bomani Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more in a moment. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposedly going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football, Josh?
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right. Right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We are probably rounding up just a little bit, but yeah, 83 was that was the number.
So, I don't know. I'm looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all so you can play, you can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game, I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
But, you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even blew me off guard, so... Something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my sure. ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this. At some point during a game in your career, let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this. Give it to me. Your own probably, what? Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air and get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards deep in the end zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with three man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable. One day we're going to see it. We're going to see that one day. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That was hilarious. And that went as I expected it would. And we now have those, you know, obviously didn't see it because he was sitting here and he didn't hear it for sure on the radio. I do believe we have a new member of our taller than you think he really is.
Yes.
Community.
Yes. Yeah, I always thought he was tall.
Did you really think
he was
6'2"?
We met him at the Sports Emmys. Either last year or the year before.
Was I there? I don't think I...
Yes, you were there.
Okay.
Yeah. That was right after we touched Jeff Passan's hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I was too busy just getting as many drinks in me as possible because yes. you're not allowed food or water or they won't allow anything in there. They'll just, you're in there all the way to the end and my category is always the last or second to last.
Yeah.
Before I'm patently disappointed by the end of the night. I'm sorry, is this thing on?
Yes, we're back.
Two times disappointed.
We're back.
Well, three. That's for us. Yeah. Three for us.
No, I meant like
I'm halfway to Susan
night.
Lucci, pal.
You're in two categories.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, you're in
true.
Two categories.
Yeah, well, then sometimes it's a back-to-back punch, you know, right, then left, or left, then right. At any rate,
Rich, our time
he's taller than I remembered.
He's very tall. Yeah, he's very tall.
He's like 6'2".
And not big-boned like Mike McCarthy.
Oh, my God.
No.
Dude.
What do you call him, a portly fellow?
A portly.
Fat-shaming.
No, I don't think so. He was saying that that's just the way people sometimes view individuals who are, bigger in the community.
Yeah.
When they're coaches, he has a point. Not a point. Same way he's saying it's correct.
Well, then where does Andy Reid fall in this?
I'm just saying, you go on social media and you read it. It's like, yeah, people do act that way.
Andy Reid used to get murdered for clock management forever.
Yeah, until he won. Well,
we're talking about being a coach.
Asking people on social media to be rational.
All right. And like,
also, we didn't get this yesterday. Clock management. What was Sean McVay doing at the end of the first half?
Just letting the clock run down.
A whole minute at a timeout.
You're deep in your own end. I don't know.
You got a guy who's balling.
You're getting the ball.
Stafford's slinging it. Puka's balling. Like, trying to get in field goal range.
I got it.
You're indoors.
I just think that Rams season was way beyond expectation, and I'm not going to sit here and criticize much.
Yeah.
Because, dude, the Rams found a gem in the fifth round of Nacua.
Mm-hmm.
They found a new dynamic running back for this group.
Oh, yeah.
Their offensive line is set, right? And what else? They got a bunch of young defenders you've never heard of. Unfortunately for him, and maybe fortunately for them, for some reason people are
Yeah, Kobe Turner on the defensive line could be defensive rookie of the year.
Rookie year, right. And then you may not lose Raheem Morris for some reason.
Yeah, he should be head coach.
You hear from anybody who's been coached by him or been part of the same staff with him, and they're like, the Bucs got him really early, mm-hmm. and he may not have been ready in the same way Pete Carroll.
Right, a little too early. Yeah.
The Jets and the Patriots got on Pete Carroll before he was ready or considered ready, or his situation. He followed Gruden after he won the championship there.
Yep. He did a great job with the Falcons as their DC, and then
I know
he's been crushing it with the Rams.
Right, and so it was interesting. I think what Daniel Jeremiah said earlier is like they might be the team to go ahead and draft somebody now and have ready when you want to move on or you think you're going to move on from your veteran quarterback, pull the Jordan Love and go and get somebody. And the Rams are 19th in the draft order now. Now we know where those who are
right
did not win on wild card weekend are slotted. They're first up the out of everybody that just made the just got eliminated from the playoffs. They're 19th. Obviously, as you know, 18 teams did not make it. They're 19th. And now, you know, when the Packers and Texans, whenever they're eliminated, they're going to wind up slotted in these spots of divisional playoff round losers, if you will.
Yeah, as we mentioned yesterday, they have 10 picks in this draft.
Who, the Rams, right?
Yeah, the Rams have 10 picks.
Rams are 19th overall. So if there's any quarterback that drops that you want to get a fifth year of contractual control on, just like where did Love get drafted? Was he 20th overall or something like that? Was he right around there, or is he around 23rd, 24th?
Stand by.
The Rams are in that range right now, you know? That's just an interesting choice. You got the Steelers sitting at 20. Maybe they do that too.
26.
Yeah, Jordan Love, 26.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're at 19. They're in that Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy kind of range.
You know where the Texans are? 23rd. You know why? Because they've got the Browns draft choice from Deshaun Watson. Oh, my goodness. Dude, you want to talk about trades that just look like one of the worst as it currently stands right now?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a terrible trade.
I mean, as it currently looks.
Russell Wilson one wasn't.
I know that we're all talking about that,
great,
too.
Not great either.
And the Cowboys, 24th overall on the clock at 12-5. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Ooh, mock draft has you. Keon Coleman, I'm seeing, TJ. You'd like that. Florida State receiver.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. And, you know, the Cowboys and the Eagles, you, Chris, sometimes with your career, it's the thing I love about doing Overreaction Monday, our segment and our podcast, is the concept. You know, we came up with this, what, 8 years, six years, 7 years ago, whatever?
Yeah.
Like, let's come up with a concept ago. Where, obviously, everyone's got an overreaction segment in our business, sure, or what have you. And it's like, let's take in what the general consensus, the craziness in our sports media world says in a knee-jerk reaction and see if there's any legitimacy to it. Right, like that's the general. That's what we.
Yeah, we hit a topic and then we kind of talk it out.
And sometimes you're so off the wall that it's laughable, right?
Big
but they're also based in facts of what is happening and how people view it. And
it's a snapshot.
That's
of
why
the
I love the construct and how we're executing it. Obviously, this is not one of those moments. Like, let me talk about how great we are.
Yeah.
But the reason why I bring it up is that sometimes you get it spot on
by accident yeah.
But by trying to be off the wall,
right,
you get it spot on.
Yeah.
And I think about a month ago you said the NFC East is going to be winless in the playoffs. Yeah. That you thought the Eagles and the Cowboys, despite the conversation we've been having all season long, yeah, about them dueling it out for that all-important NFC East championship, because that's going to be the highest seed, potentially even the one seed, the bye week. And then when the Cowboys, as we know, got smoked by San Francisco and then the Eagles lost to San Francisco. That got downgraded from the one seed conversation down to the two seed. And the Lions even raised their hand saying, well, we might be the two seed until the eligible stuff happened. And so the Eagles fall off a cliff and the Cowboys lose in Miami after they lose in Buffalo. And you go on the air and you say they're going to go both one and done.
Yep.
That was your overreaction. I believe I called that an overreaction. I said that that is not going to happen. And not only did they get one and done, the Eagles and the Cowboys, I asked this of NFL Network research right around the second quarter last night when I sensed that the Eagles, as soon as they didn't get the brotherly shove in, I said, this is done. I reached out. I'm like, how many times have we ever seen in the history of the playoffs, or just give me the Super Bowl era, how many times have we seen a division send multiple teams to the playoffs and everybody gets one and done and they don't even hold a lead in either of the games? So I even upped it. Like, your overreaction was
winless.
Winless. And they won't even have a lead in the playoff games that they both get one and done in.
Yikes.
I would have called that an overreaction, but it happened. It's the sixth time in the Super Bowl era a division has sent multiple teams to the playoffs and they lose without even holding a lead. This year's Cowboys and Eagles, last time it happened was when in 2021 when the Cowboys and Eagles did it.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when Jalen Hurts got one and done by Tom Brady and the Bucks?
Okay.
And the Cowboys didn't even hold the lead against the 49ers in the game where they didn't get the ball spotted.
Right.
The other instances were the 05 AFC South, Colts and Jaguars, 03 AFC West, Chiefs and Broncos, the 86 NFC West, Rams and Niners, and the 73 AFC Central, Bengals and Steelers. Multiple teams to the playoffs. They get one and done, and they don't even hold a lead at any point in the game. That's how remarkably disappointing the NFC East turned out to be this year. Not only did they get one and done, they never even had a lead. And in the case of the Cowboys, they weren't even close. And last night, the closest they were what, 3-0?
It was 3-0, yeah.
And even then, the way the Eagles were performing, it looked...
Well, they just got dominated on that first drive, and you kind of felt, if you're the Eagles fan, you felt lucky that they only kicked a field goal.
Well,
but...
when David Moore scored that 44-yarder, and like he ran through it like it was a flag football game.
Yeah.
And then Trey Palmer ran through it 56 yards.
I mean, tackling is just effort. Like it's...
That's why I call it the runny nose, like the patient is ill. You know, like unable to throw strikes in baseball.
Yeah.
Right. Turnovers in basketball.
Yeah. It's just ugly, undisciplined.
Right.
I can't believe
those
that
are the
that
ones
happened.
That you feel is the most fixable. It's not a physical fix. It's a mental.
Yeah, it's just focus.
Fix. And that's why it always falls on the coaching when you turn it over in basketball. Again, like for the Steelers, they were not prepared to play that game yesterday. That fumble, and then Mason Rudolph throws that one poor pass, you know, when Elam, it looked like Elam was going to, he was getting toasted on that drive.
Yeah, and then he just turns around, and then there's the ball. But the Steelers also got the benefit of that Freiermuth fumble that grazed off his helmet.
No, I hear you, but yeah. I'm just pointing out, in turnovers to me in football isn't like that's coaching. You know, it could be that you're constantly talking about points of pressure and you can't affect a player from losing it. Yeah. Or I'm going to use the example against what I love to talk about, reaching for the pylon.
Yeah,
you never see the Patriots do it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, or Belichick team. All I'm saying
is that way. Yeah.
But not tackling, that's a coaching thing because the players aren't given the effort.
Yeah.
How about that? Not only was Brockman right about the NFC East being winless, they didn't even have a lead.
That's crazy.
And they're done. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Speaking of talking about things I was right about, I told you all about the Bills. I told you all. That's next. So the Saints fired their offensive coordinator, Pete Carmichael, out. So the Saints need a new offensive coordinator. The Bears need a new offensive coordinator. Everybody that's just fired their coaches might need a new offensive coordinator.
John Gruden?
I don't know.
He's been he was a consultant this year with them, and he's been bowied about. It's a name you're seeing on Twitter right now.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
That'd be a choice that would get the attention of the league office.
It would be a choice. Him and Dennis Allen have a relationship. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Wow. If you're looking for an offensive coordinator, you better go jump on one ASAP, because everybody's needing one. Yep. The Eagles probably need one.
For sure.
They're going to move in a different direction.
Yep.
If the Cowboys fire their coaches, they'd fire their play caller with them.
I mean, is Bill O'Brien going to be back in New England?
Hell no. I don't think so. Do you?
I kind of don't. Yeah.
Well, Gerard Mayo gets introduced tomorrow.
Yep.
Damn, man.
Wondering if Belichick's sons stick around in New England. There's kind of been a push for them to stay. Gerard's been talking up Steve.
Okay.
And so, but you
know, I don't know.
Wouldn't you go with your dad? Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't you think dad would want him to go?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Steve's done a really good job on the defense the last few years. So, interesting time.
Okay.
Wild, wild coaching carousel.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our friend Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is going to join us shortly, top of hour number three. Listen, when I say things into this microphone, I believe them, and I'd love to be right, obviously, but that's not the point. But when I'm right, I do like to return to the microphone and enforce that.
And tell us how right you were?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people in this business do that. I'll allow myself the latitude. We all know what the name of the show is, right?
Mm.
Okay. I told everybody. Right around when they were 6-6. I'm going to keep repeating this as long as I'm staying right. Do not let the Buffalo Bills in the tournament. Don't do it. Don't do it. And a bunch of teams had the opportunity to prevent them from doing it. But they didn't. And the Buffalo Bills have now won 6 in a row. And you tell me a team that has the following. Ahead of steam and the momentum. Has also a defense that keeps on. I mean, they're like the Dark Knight from Holy Grail, just getting one important body part after another chopped off, and they keep fighting like that they're ready to just take somebody out. How many people do they get carted off? How many teams can have a cart on the field? Terrell Bernard was the latest one. Apparently, it's not a break, by the way. It looked like he broke his foot just landing on the frozen turf. But it's just a flesh wound. Ed Oliver keeps on balling out. As long as they got people who are healthy, they're balling out. How many teams have difference-making playmakers in the so-called skill position? Stephon Diggs may not be, you know, going off like he's Tyreek Hill, but he's making enough important catches and then taking your Gatorade. And just when you thought, you know, you've gotten down to their last rung of playmakers, they become the first team in the history of the National Football League playoffs, first team ever to have not one but two tight ends score touchdowns in the first quarter of an NFL playoff game. It's never happened before. Dawson Knox, then Dalton Kincaid. First quarter, boom. And then you're up 14. You're up 14. And here's the ultimate. You got a quarterback who stands in his pocket after snapping the ball from his own 48 and says, I'll run it in from here. Come on. Same quarterback who found those tight ends in the first quarter is like, I got this one.
Man, that pass to Kincaid was a laser.
Well, but I'm talking about the run here.
No,
now.
I know.
His post-game soundbite is just also a perfect microcosm of how confident Josh Allen and the Bills are right now.
They played man. It was third and long. They played man. Didn't have a great man call on. So I decided to try to find a lane and got, I don't know, 15, 20 yards downfield. And, you know, there's the a lot of guys screaming slide and didn't slide and scored. So it worked out that time.
A lot of screaming slide and
didn't slide.
I didn't slide. Kenny Pickett standing on the sideline going, I know that.
I don't.
Whole
you
sliding
think he,
thing.
You think he fake slid?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, I'm just saying. No, he didn't fake slide. It just, but it's one of those things where you're like, oh, he's going to go down. But
Steelers fans think he fake slid.
The announcer said he fake slid.
I didn't think that at
think
all.
So. I don't think he faked. I just think that we're just expecting him to go down. And he's just like, why am I going down? If they're just going to arm tackle me, I'm going in.
The field is ice. It's frozen. Dude, he's trying to get his footing.
I'm just saying what the call was.
The train whistles, the whole bit. And because of Kadarius Toney's foot, although the Bills did have time left on the clock, had Travis Kelce's remarkable lateral to Toney against the Bills had stood as called, the Bills have the Chiefs in their house. Finally. Finally, finally, finally in the playoffs. And this team that did not see a divisional playoff game for their team, home or away, for 24 straight years, now has a divisional playoff for a fourth straight year. And this one, to make the AFC Championship game this time, they get Mahomes in their house. First time in Mahomes' career, he will play a playoff game outside of Arrowhead that's not the Super Bowl. A first true road playoff game for Mahomes, and the only other time he's played in Buffalo was during COVID when there were no fans in the stands. This will be his first time in this stadium with fans in the stands. It is on, and that's why the league put it as the last game of the divisional playoff weekend. Oh, baby. Oh, boy. And if I'm right, don't let them in the postseason. And they are the ones, by the end of this weekend, to officially make sure we will have a new Super Bowl champion this year. Look no further than the foot of Kadarius Toney. And that is the ultimate body part that let the Bills in the tournament. And maybe you could say they would have made the tournament anyway. That's the foot that put the Chiefs in Buffalo for this one. Can't wait. And I'm sure the Bills Mafia is just champing at the bit, man.
How are you guys feeling about that game?
What do you mean?
Like, who you think is going
to
come out?
I don't know. I need some time because the Chiefs looked a heck of a lot better in their game against the Dolphins.
Couldn't punch the ball in the end zone.
I get it. You know,
I like the Bills at home.
The Chiefs, as you know, have been riding the defense. Notice I finished the word.
Thank you, Rich.
Wait, what?
You didn't see that clip? You see that clip?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Chris Rose and MJD. Okay.
They've been riding the defense. So let's just all pump the brakes. Give us a few more days on this one. But man, oh man, oh man, the Bills have looked great. Mike Florio, when we come back.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.